freedom in spirit, it is freedom in your soul, it's freedom in your emotions, it's freedom of mind, it's freedom in your thought life, it's freedom in your expressions. Some of you are standing there at the back and you're like, man, I wish I could jump around here in front, like some of these crazy people. Some of you thought, man, if I just had the guts to walk forward and lift my hand, even if I just had the guts to lift one hand halfway, that would be amazing. And God wants us to be completely free in our expression and even our body language towards Him. There's a place of intimacy, a place that we are so infatuated with who God is, His holiness, His awesomeness, His glory, that we don't care what other people might think. Think of David. What did David do? They brought back the ark. He was dancing half naked before this ark. And then his wife went, hey, that was a pretty good show, Mr. King, in front of all these slave girls. And then David said, I will be even more undignified than this. Because he understood that intimacy with God will also flow through in the way that he expresses himself. And then God says he is a man after God's heart. So, just as a first sermon, I want to say that God wants to set you free of shyness tonight. God wants to set you free of the inability to just communicate with Him in every part of your being. Whether it's your emotions, whether it's through just raising a hand, maybe through your intellect, your thought life. He wants to set you free. Okay, so let's backtrack. That's the first sermon. The second sermon, the real one, is we're talking about freedom. And I just want to summarize. So if we look at the Oxford Dictionary, it says freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. Okay, but there's a problem with this. What is the problem? Sometimes I want to act towards Armand in a way that limits his freedom. So I want his bucky. If I take his bucky, then what am I doing? I'm free because I'm just doing what I want. But he is not free. I'm limiting his freedom. So there's a problem with worldly freedom. So freedom can only exist within boundaries. Do you agree? Like some of the people that I know that went after freedom the hardest in my varsity days, they are so entangled in so many things these days. Why? Because their freedom led them into a place of bondage. They didn't choose freedom within the boundaries of God. So I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12 to 17. If you don't have a Bible, Thomas and Armand is going to hand you. So we have Afrikaans ones. Just raise your hand. If you don't have a Bible, don't be shy. The deal is you can take this. If you don't have a Bible, you can take this Bible. If you do have a Bible, just hand it in. But like we always say, we're doing a new thing in church. We're bringing our Bibles to church. So 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12 to 17. And I want you to read through it and ask yourself this question. It talks of, there's the word liberty is in there, and then you ask yourself this question. What is the boundary that God is giving us in these verses? What is the boundary within which we will experience freedom? And we just actually sang that song. Great, so 2 Corinthians 3, 12 to 17. Okay, great. So Paul, he talks about Moses, and he tells a story of Moses when he came down from the mountain after He received the Ten Commandments. What happened? He had to veil his face because the glory of God was so radiant on his face that people couldn't look at him. So there was a veil. He had to put a veil over his face so that he could communicate with people. And then the Bible says that there was always a veil in the Old Covenant. But then somebody came. His name is Jesus. And he took away the veil. In other words, Paul's saying that the Old Covenant came with glory. So it's not like the law is a bad thing. It's not like the Old Testament is a bad thing. You should read the Old Testament. There's so much good stuff in there. But then Jesus came and he unveiled the Old Covenant. He unveiled something and he introduced us to the full glory of God. And often I would tell this story, if you would go and climb into a time machine and you go back into the Old Testament times and you'd be at the Day of Atonement, or you'd be at a day where they celebrate the presence of God in the tabernacle, and you would whisper in somebody's ear, "Hey, you know what? You think only the priest can go in there into the presence of God. I come from the New Testament. I come from the New Covenant. I can go there. I can go in there as well." And this guy would think that you are blaspheming the name of God, the Yahweh. You wouldn't allow to be there. We live in such glorious times that the Old Testament, they were waiting for this promise to see the full glory of God. And when you think of the glory of God, it's not a shining light. It is when you meet with God. Some of you have had encounters with God. It is like it's like the best thing ever. Nothing can compare to that. And God's saying we can live in that glorious encounter with God. So there's an unveiling that happens. And then he talks about something in verse 16 or verse 17. "And now the Lord is the Spirit." So Jesus ascended into heaven, but he did not leave us orphans. He didn't leave us alone. What did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit. And it said, "Now the Lord," so Jesus, the manifestation of Jesus with us is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, it says there's an old covenant, it was glorious, now we live in a new covenant, it's more glorious, and there's freedom in this covenant. But what is the boundary? Where is freedom? Where the Spirit of the Lord is. So it means that where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is not freedom. It's so simple. So you can ask yourself, whatever you are doing, are you welcoming in the Spirit of the Lord, or are you not welcoming in the Spirit of the Lord? If you are welcoming in the Spirit of the Lord, there's going to be much freedom. If you're welcoming the Spirit of the Lord into your soul, into your emotions, through whatever, like what we did tonight, is the Spirit of the Lord there? Yes, and then there you will find freedom. But if you are going to try and do only your own thing, you're going to be selfish, you are just following your own mind, you are not in the Spirit of the Lord. So you will not experience freedom. You will not. So the only real freedom in Christ, can only happen when we understand that we need to stay in the boundary, in the perimeter of the Spirit. And how do you do that? How does this plan pan out? How do we get into the Spirit? Because that's where we want to be. I can walk into the worst kind of Satanist ritual here in town, and I can have all the liberty I can walk into the worst situation at work or with a friend or with your family or with a neighbor, and I can have complete freedom because the Spirit of the Lord is in me. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If the Spirit of the Lord is there, then there can't be bondage. So even some of you sitting here, you have allowed the Spirit of the Lord in certain rooms of your home, of your house. See yourself having this house, which is your life, and you've said, hey, Spirit of the Lord, you can take the kitchen, you can take my one bedroom, but you will not take that other bedroom. Because that's where I have control. Do you have freedom in that area? No, you don't. You don't. Because only where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay, so let's just a quick game plan for doing this, and then I'm going to hand over to Thomas. He's also going to share some stuff tonight with us. Very excited for that, Thomas. Uncle Zane is even here tonight. Welcome, Zane. So the first one is, you go for encountering God. So you need to get vocal about this. You need to set out time for this. You're like, you want to meet with God because it's the Spirit of the Lord. It's not the spirit of the world. It's not the spirit of education. It's not the spirit of your mother. It's not your spirit of serving your girlfriend or getting a girlfriend. No, it's the Spirit of the Lord. So you're going to need to put time out and pursue this encounter with God. Because only when you encounter God, then He can release the Spirit in you. And sometimes we are so familiar with the spiritual stuff. We come to church and we think that's enough. Yes, it's glorious to come to church. Yes, it's amazing stuff that happens. But are you pursuing God like you are pursuing your education? And this is not, I'm not giving you permission to get out of school and be a missionary. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying we must get our priorities right. Because if you pursue God first, everything else will follow. That's the kingdom of God. That's the principle of the kingdom of God. Everything. So there's a guy, David Duplessis, who was used mightily by God to bring in the charismatic revival, even into the Roman Catholic Church, South African guy. When he was 13 years old, he went to his headmaster. And he said, headmaster, I'm going to take a day off and I'm going to pray for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon me because I have been sitting under the ministry of a guy called John G. Lake and I've seen it and I need it. I just need it. I need this freedom. I need it now. 13 years old. And he and his dad and his mother, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and nothing happened. And then God reminded him, listen to this, small thing. Just he encountered God and God reminded him, showed him one thing that he did wrong, a lie that he told his mother or somebody. And he confessed that lie. And the moment he confessed that lie, God came over him and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And God used him. He's called Mr. Pentecost. Go and Google it. David Duplessis, amazing guy coming from South Africa. So what did he do? He went all out to encounter God. I can tell you, if you're sitting here and you have problems and you take a day off, take a weekend, take your Saturday off, leave your computer games, leave whatever you're doing, your sport, just say, sorry, I'm leave, and just say, God, I'm going to pursue you from the morning to the night. I'm going to pursue you. Get somebody else with you and say, we're going to trust God for the Spirit of the Lord, for the freedom of God. Then the second one is, get to know who you are in Christ. So it talks of the unveiling that happens. The moment you step into the presence of God, you understand who you are. So I have a cousin, she's adopted, and for a long time she didn't really know who she was because she didn't know her real dad or a real mother. And then she looked up, after she was 18 years old, she looked up her mother and she found her. And when she met her, she said, this is a word. She said that now I know who I am because I talk like her, I look like her. She had an encounter with her mother and that gave her identity. It is, and that is a good encounter to have. It's so much greater if you meet with the God who created you It is like being a Mercedes-Benz and suddenly you meet the engineer, and the engineer is, you know what? You can go so much faster. You have so many more things on the dashboard that you don't even know about. And I'm going to show you who it is. What that is. How to work this dashboard. So the moment you encounter God, you know who you are. And if you know who you are, then it is so easy to let go of who you are not. So I struggle with pornography. The easiest thing now for me when I'm tempted with pornography is just, I'm not a porn addict. That's not who I am. I'm not a lustful man. I'm not a man who needs some pleasure from a screen to be fulfilled. I don't need that. Why? Because I know who I am. It is ridiculous for me to actually just have a look at a porn photo or lust at a girl. I'm still tempted, definitely, but it's ridiculous because I know who I am. So one of my biggest desires is just for my kids to know who they are. So I'm constantly telling him, hey, Nicholas, yes, amazing. Amo, yes, amazing. Eva, you are beautiful. You are so beautiful, and I love you. You are clever. This is who God made you. You don't have anybody else. Nobody needs to tell you who you are. Only God can tell you. And as a father, I'm affirming that identity. So that's the second one. The third one is, use your will to bring your thoughts and your deeds in line with your identity. Some of you know, hey, I'm a son of God. I know who I am. We know all that New Year's song. It's like you sing it over and over, but you never put it into action. You need to use your will, that thing that God has given you, to say yes to God and no to the world, or just do it. Say, hey, God, I am your son. Hey, I am your son. You know what? I am his daughter. I am the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That is my daddy. And you just speak it over you like you're a madman. Just go for it. And you align your thoughts and deeds so that it compares with who you are. You must line up with who you are. If you're a holy Christian guy, pornography is not who you are. Or any sexual desire, or any worldly thing, or any issues of rejection. You cannot be rejected if you're adopted into God's family. God cannot reject you. You cannot be held bondage by shame if you are God's son. You cannot. It is impossible. So it is fine. If you struggle with that, hey, all of us do, but we get into that place of who we are. Okay, then last one. Tools. So tools are just, how do we do all of this? Repentance, like I said, David Duplessis just confessed one sin. He asked, God, what is the one thing that keeps me from this fullness of God? And God showed him a lie. Simple thing like that. Sometimes you'll say, hey, God, where have I failed you today? And it's not like, oh, God, I'm such a failure. You're like, hey, Jesus, something that I can remove so that I can experience more of you. And you just do that. Repentance, just turn away. Turn away from that sin. Say, God, I'm turning away. I'm turning from sin towards God. Declarations. And do it over yourself and do it over your friends. There's this very bad thing among young people is that we rip each other all the time. You're like, hey, look at your doing that. Or hey, look at that. Or just joking. But so many of those people, they come to me and say, Homo, I'm really hurt. I don't know who I am. And even the guys who is the worse with their words towards their friends. They are the people that really struggle. See, if somebody is telling you awful stuff and you go to him and say, hey, you know what? God loves you. You don't have to perform. You don't have to use these words. You don't have to break people down in order to feel good. You don't. So declare it over yourself, and then the last one, most difficult one, is be obedient to what God tells you. If God tells you to slot into a small group and be faithful, do that. If God tells you to join the worship band, go and do that. If God tells you to love your mother, then you go and do that. If God tells you, do not go out. For a year, do not go out because you cannot handle alcohol. Don't do it. Be holy. Be the geek. Be the dork for that year. At the end of the year, you're going to be a holy dork and God's going to be on you. And everybody's going to want to spend time with you. Great. So then it is my privilege to introduce a man who needs no introduction. Cool. So the last time I think that Thomas preached, maybe he's preached in between, is in Sri Lanka last year with me. We arrived there in Sri Lanka on the Saturday, and we were six guys, and we were actually supposed to only preach at two spots. So I thought me and myself and Leon the Roots will preach because we had all these young guys with me. And then they said, no, they've organized five churches, and they need five powerful men of God to preach in these churches. So Thomas got one of them at Pastor Sumudu's church, and afterwards, a guy called Hanukkah, that's his name, he came to me and he said, Amo, that was amazing. He preached amazing. And then he ended saying, but it wasn't him. It wasn't him. So apparently, I don't know exactly what happened because it wasn't there, but apparently it was amazing. So Thomas, we honor you as a son in this house, and we're looking forward to hear from you.
Thank you, Amo. Good evening, everyone. Before we start, we're just going to quickly watch a little video clip, and then you'll see what actually happened in Sri Lanka. Cool. Okay, I started with this video because mostly people fear these things. When they see demons or hear about the demons, they fear them. They have this thing about, oh, hey, I deliver demons. And then the people's like, what? What? No, don't even mention that. Don't even mention it. I don't want to hear it. And it's actually so sad, and I'm just obedient towards God because God called me to come to you today and talk to you about that. You don't have to fear demons. Because the cool thing is, there's a realm where God lives in and where demons live between, and there's a constant battle. But we are also in this battle. The things that we do affects what goes on in that realm. God has called to be a warrior. Not to worry about things, but to fight for things. You know, because of science and the enlightenment that followed the Reformation, we neglect the power that God has given us. We neglect that God has given us this thing, this power of deliverance, and we just fear these demons. We fear them because we don't know we have the power to deliver them. We fear them because we don't walk in the authority of God. We fear them because people say to us, just leave it alone. It's not for you. But God called you to be a warrior. So, can you please take out your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 6, verse 12. And if you are there, just say, I'm not afraid. Okay, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So God says, you're not going to attack the people next to you, but you need to attack the things that are on the spiritual realm. The true fight isn't against your brother that sits next to you. The true fight is against the demons of this world. The true fight is against the principalities. So before I delivered my first demon before we went to Sri Lanka, I was also like, Mom told us about, you're going to deliver demons. And my first thing was like, can I really deliver demons? Because this world gives us so many movies that we watch about these things. And the first thing that when you watch this, you get this fear. You get this fear about, wow, they're so strong. Wow, they can throw people against walls. This is what the world tells us. And this is the thing that I imagined when I walked in and my first demon was there. I was like, God, just help me, because I'm afraid. So they tempted me, and the first woman that I delivered, literally, her back touched her heel, like this. But God's power was so powerful, I just said, you are safe. God's power is above you. And she just fell down. For this is how powerful God is. God's word is so much more powerful, so much more wonderful than the acts of a demon. So, the thing that I want to give you tonight is tips and reasons why we do not have to fear them. So, I want you to turn to Romans 16, verse 20. And I love this passage. It's so amazing. So, when you get there, just say, I'm not afraid. Romans 16, verse 20. It's cool. It's cool to hear that you guys are not afraid. So, it says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I'm just going to read it again, just the first sentence. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. So the cool thing about this is, I usually imagine when I walk everywhere, I'm not walking on the earth. Every step that I'm giving, I'm just walking on the demons. I'm like, hey devil. Like this is how it is. You're just walking on every demon. And this is the thing that we have to step into. If you're a warrior and you're going to fight, you're going to have to step on them. It's like, boom, kick to the skull, Satan. We also have authority in Jesus. And there's a piece in Ephesians 2 verse 6. So you can just write down Ephesians 2 verse 6, we're not going to go to it. But we have authority. We walk in this authority. It's like when the Springboks plays against the Bulls. The Springboks is going to waste the Bulls because they have this higher authority. They're just wearing this green and gold, and the Blue Bulls is just wearing blue. So just imagine that you have this authority. And Omu always explains it very good. We are standing here because we walk in God's authority. God is here. God is above everything. And if we adopt God, we walk in God's authority. And Satan is there. So when we walk on Satan. The third thing, weapons of warfare. So you can read more about that in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. So the weapons of warfare that we get is forgiveness, because you will be forgiven if you forgive. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit, because He is our guider. He is the one that guides us through things. Repentance and confession, because we have to turn 180 degrees towards God. Declaration. We have to declare that we are not afraid of these demons. We have to declare that they are nothing. And prayer and worship. So vital. The cool thing about this is when we were in Sri Lanka, Omar just told us, just worship. When he was busy with the demon, he just told us, just worship. And when we worship, that thing was like, ah, ah. And we just could tell that he hated it. Okay, point four. The armor of God. God has given you armor to fight. He has given you these things to fight the fight, to fight the good fight. Not against flesh, but against the principalities of evil. So we have to declare these things over us. We have to take this armor. For God hasn't given us this armor for nothing. We can't just sit there and not use it. God has given it to us. So we must use it. And we have security from God. That's point number five. So I just want you to turn to Mark 3, verse 14 and 15. Matthew, Mark. It's just after Matthew. If you get there, just say, I am not afraid. It's so good to hear that you guys are not afraid. Okay, so it says, then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out demons. But not only has he appointed 12, he has appointed you. For all of us has been called. All of us are disciples of Jesus. So it's not that he appointed 12, he appointed everyone. He appointed every one of us to heal the sick, to preach, and to cast out demons. So if he has given us these instructions, why are we afraid of these things? For he has given us the authority to cast out demons. He even said to us, go cast out demons. But why are we afraid of these demons, these things that we walk upon? It's so cool that, and it's just so nice to talk about these things, because people usually are so afraid, but afterwards it's just so cool to see how their eyes open. Because when their eyes open, they see that they have power, that God has given them power. That they also, that they have given, has got these things from Jesus to walk over these things. You know, why have God given us mountains to walk over? For he has given us faith to move these mountains, to cast these mountains away. We just have to believe. We just have to believe that we have this power inside of us. So I just want us to stand. And just close your eyes. I just want to create a space where you can meet God. I want to see in front of you that he has given you a present. And in this present, he has given you a gift. And this gift of deliverance is given to you. So I just want us to declare a few things. So you can repeat after me. I'm not afraid of demons. Because I'm already walking on their heads. I can fight demons. Because I have the authority of the Lord. I'm ready to fight the good fight. Because I have weapons of warfare. I am a warrior of God. Because I have his armor. So where every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I just want you to meet God. And there where you feel that you aren't free from things, maybe people have told you things that you are not good enough, maybe you have lost someone, maybe you want to take your own life, maybe there's this fear around you that's not going to away. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand right now. If that is you, that if people have called you names, called you things that you are not, just raise your hand right now. If you even have thoughts about taking your own life, I want you to raise your hand. And then secondly, if you believe that God has given you this power, but you never realized it, if you believe that God is your one and only, and you have taken the opportunity tonight to give your life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. If you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, just raise your hand. Thank you for the hands. So if you would be so bold enough, those people that raise their hands to come forth, that we may pray with you. There was a few hands. Those who have to be set free from worries, from fears, on my right hand side, your left, and those that want to give their lives to Jesus, my left, your right. So I'm just going to pray, and you can just pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, that you have died on the cross so that I can be set free. Thank you, Jesus, that I have the power to cast away demons. Thank you, Jesus, that I do not have to fear, but I can walk in your authority. Thank you that all my worries are taken away, and I can give my life to you today. And I will walk in no sin anymore, because you have set me free. Amen.
I just want to add to that. So, thanks, Thomas. Thomas is one of the boldest guys that I know. I love it. So this morning, a lady came to me and she said, "Hey, Elmo, I just, while we were worshiping, God spoke to me." And she said, "Die manne is slap gat." The men are lazy, passive. Good word, passive. And then I was reminded of two things that happened over the weekend. The one was a lady that I love, that I have a relationship with. A guy drove past her and he just started telling her perverse stuff. Just perverse comments about him, about her, about what he wants to do. And I was like, Jesus, this can't happen on my watch. And then we arrived here, and my neighbor is also here. And one of our neighbors, the husband was hitting his wife on Friday, and there was a big commotion. And I felt like God saying, "Hey, die manne is slapgat. We are slapgat." But what Thomas was talking about is taking up authority as men and fighting the good fight. All of us are actually stirred for war. Yes. Woman, you also are stirred for war. I know that. God has created you in this way. But the men must take up their spiritual authority, and we must fight the fight. We must say, that's not going to happen. Those guys, the reason why that guy was telling her all these perverse and making these perverse comments, because he's hurt. He's broken. He probably didn't have a dad. So I want you to close your eyes. And first of all, what we're going to do is, if there's somebody, a man, a dad, that abused you, that neglected you, I want you to say, "God, I forgive this man. I forgive my dad. I forgive this guy who made comments. I forgive this boyfriend who used me, who abused me." Just because we want to release God, or we release men as warriors. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. We forgive, Lord, the men that have failed us, Jesus. We forgive the dads, Jesus, that did not show up, that never prayed for their daughters, that never told their daughters that they are beautiful, that never told their sons that they are loved and that they are proud of them, Jesus. We forgive those dads." Just start speaking to God. Say, "God, I forgive them."